put my feet up on the desk and lit a Havana special. The smoke curled gently toward the ceiling. I felt like the cat that opened a canary shop. I'd solved another unsolvable case, and the city fathers were in my debt once again, but somehow something was missing. It was the payment of my usual fee.
Mr. Grayson, how can I ever thank you?
Don't mention it, Toots. All in a day's work.
But surely, you've done so much for me. The least I can do
is... The blonde had plenty of this and that, and these and those, and she wasn't averse to sharing some of the wealth.
You saved my life, Mr. Grayson. I think you're wonderful.
You're not so bad yourself, kid.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Frank Grayson, Private Eye. Brought to you by Sani Sweep. It's not just a broom, it's a Sani Sweep. Coming up next time, Frank Grayson lands in hot water when he tries to help a beautiful brunette.
She needed a warning dangerous curves sign, but they were already putting out flashing lights for this, Jane.
Next week on Frank Grayson, Private Eye.
And we're out. Thanks, everyone. See you next week. Got a minute, Powell?
Anything for you, doll.
Show's over, Steve.
Can't a guy just kid around a little bit?
Steve, we have a problem.
It's just a little cold. I had the window open last night, but it'll be gone next week. I think it actually helps, you know, that raspy man-of-the-world sound.
Your performance was fine, Steve. You're very consistent. You're always very consistent. The problem is, we're about to lose our sponsor.
Sani Sweep?
They say we're not appealing to the common housewife, to the users of their products. They aren't selling enough.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have opened a broom factory after the invention of the Hoover.
They want Frank Grayson to be more of a family man. More like a...
Like the kind of guy with a Sani Sweep in his closet?
Hey, that's an idea. The brunette enters, you're tidying up the office...
Are you kidding me?
I know it's a stretch, Steve, but if Sani Sweep pulls out, we've got no show. No show, no jobs, and radio's drying up as it is. I'd like to hang on a little longer. Say, how come you never got into movies?
I'd gotten into radio when I was young and handsome, and by the time I realized radio was on the out... I wasn't what Hollywood was looking for anymore.
I'm not so good with the auditions. I just,
Excuse me, Mr. Powell?
Call me Steve.
Gosh, thanks, Mr. Steve. I'm Penny from Publicity.
She'd been behind the door when they were passing out looks, but her smile lit up the whole room.
Who's that, Mr. Steve?
How can I help you, Penny?
I'm writing the press release for next week's episode, and I'd like to get a quote from you to liven it up. You know, for some color.
The only color I could really add was the black hue of impending cancellation, or the gray wash of endless rounds of auditions here in You're Too Old, Powell, 100 times while sinking a little deeper every day into
Steve,
the pit of a...
Mr. Powell?
What?
Who are you talking to?
I have a bad habit of narrating my own story.
What?
I'll give you some color.
I'm thrilled to be part of the 71st exciting episode of Frank Grayson, Private Eye. Every week brings a fresh new story. Boy, I can't wait to hear what those writers have dreamed up this time. My director, Bob Morris, is among the best in the business. How he finds a new, beautiful guest star each week is beyond me. He must have a magic mirror that shows him...
I think I've got enough. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, don't mention it. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks, Tom. I'll see you.
Good night. Sandy Sweet was on my mind. How could a man with a broom in his closet be a suave private dick with a cigar in one hand and a babe in the other? And what was I going to do if they canceled the series? When little Stevie Pawlowski came to Hollywood, he thought the world was going to be his mollusk. But Steve Powell found out it takes a piece of garbage and a lot of irritation before you get a pearl. When the shots rang out, I had just one thing on my mind. How the heck to work some cleaning products into the next episode?
Hey!
Her auburn hair glowed like a fire on a cold winter's night, and the rest of her would keep a man toasty all over.
Who are you talking to?
Here, let me help you up.
Ow!
You must have been pretty scared by those shots.
Shots? I wasn't, I mean, yes, I was pretty scared, terrified. That's why I'm running. I want to call the police so they can come.
Did you see anything?
No, no, I mean, panicked and ran into you.
Well, there's an all-night drugstore a half a block that way. Why don't you go call the police and I'll go see if anyone's hurt?
Oh, do you think it's safe?
It didn't matter if it was safe or not. Sometimes a private eye has to take a few risks to do the right thing.
What?
Nothing. I'm sure it's safe by now. Anyone shooting must have run away. They'll know someone must be calling the police. Go sit in the drugstore, and I'll meet you there in a few minutes.
Now, the shots came from the alley in the middle of the next block. Do you think I'll have to be a witness?
Well, probably, but you've got, well, nothing to worry about. You haven't done anything wrong, have you? Sounds like somebody beat you to the punch. Why don't you go sit in that drugstore, and I'll tell the police.
Please, no, I can't talk to the police.
Well, it won't be that
no,
bad.
No, I'm getting married next month to Roy Van Allen.
The city councilman? They say he's going to be the next mayor.
I can't afford to be mixed up in anything that might be scandalous.
Well, surely just telling the police what you saw.
But I'd have to say I was alone at night in this neighborhood. Well,
and I can see how that, well, it wouldn't look good.
No, maybe you could help me.
Well, I'd be happy to sit with you while you talk to the police.
No, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have to give evidence at all. You were walking by here, and you heard the shots. I didn't see anything. I only heard two shots while I was waiting for the streetcar. What good will it do the police to get the same story twice?
There was something faulty in her logic, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
So you see, you wouldn't have to say that you met me. Just tell about hearing the shots, and then they'd know everything there is to know.
Well, I guess that wouldn't hurt.
And I'll be right over there in the drugstore, and if they do need me, you can just bring them over there.
Okay. You, go get cleaned up and settle down.
Oh, thank you. You're just wonderful.
Her lips were warm, but her hands were as cold as a fresh martini. I headed for the scene of the crime.
Looks like our bird took one bullet smack in the face. But where's the other one?
Don't know, Sergeant. Maybe it went into one of these walls.
No, they're all brick, would have glanced off. Keep searching the ground, boys.
Something's funny over here, Sarge.
The dead man looked like a tough customer. As the cop rolled the body over, his jacket fell open. I didn't know where the gun was, but if the empty holster was any evidence, this corpse had been a shoot-first, negotiate-later kind of guy.
Well, I'll be damned.
Do you think it's his?
One thing was certain. This wasn't a guy who'd carry a handbag.
Hey, write this down, Sarge. Victim appears to be clutching a mid-sized white leather handbag. Chain strap said bag wrapped around victim's left arm, handbag held in left hand. Hey, Mickey, get a snap of this before I move anything. Contents of handbag include one lipstick, one change purse, one compact gold with bullet hole right through the center, and one roll of bills. Elastic band and a bullet hole going in, but not coming out. Sarge, I found your second shot. Looks like a .38 caliber.
The scene was surreal. The white lights of the flashbulbs exploding in the dim recesses of the alley like ideas popping into the mind of an imbecile.
Hey, who are you calling an imbecile?
No one, officer. Just talking to my...
Well, and what are you hanging around a crime scene for?
I'm a witness.
What do you see?
Well, I didn't see anything, but I heard two shots.
Fuck off, then. We got plenty of people heard two shots.
Purse contents also include a card case. Cards inside bearing the name of Barbara Mitchell. Say, maybe this guy tried to mug some dame and she shot him?
Come on, the sergeant's right over here. Sarge, I think we got a bird.
That little guy?
He had a point. The officer was wasting his handcuffs on a bum from the wrong side of the lunch counter. The outside. This walking ragbag didn't have a dime, let alone the guts to shoot a man in the face. But the egg was on my face. Over hard.
I found him on the corner. He found me.
I want to confess.
You fell for that, Jackson. Come on, this hobo wants three squares and a warm night in the hooscow. Wasting our time.
You had a gun, Sarge.
What?
A .38, freshly fired, two cartridges.
You gotta be kidding me. What's your name, little man?
Mitchell Markham, and I want to confess.
Confess away, buddy. This will be the fastest crime to conviction in the history of the 26th precinct.
I was sleeping in the alley. That man came into the alley. I came up behind him and grabbed his gun and shot him. I thought he might have some money on him, so I took his wallet.
I got the wallet off him, Sarge. ID for James DeLand, which makes the dearly departed Slippery Jim DeLand. That guy we busted for extortion a few months back.
That's the revolving door of justice for you. So, Mitchell Markham, is this your handbag?
That's why I could grab the gun. Because he was looking through the handbag. He must have robbed someone before coming into the alley.
So why'd you grab his wallet and not the handbag?
Oh, he fell on top of the handbag, and I didn't want to roll the body over. I just grabbed what I could reach and ran.
I don't know, Sarge. This doesn't add up.
We got a confession from a guy carrying the murder weapon a block from the crime scene. I got four. Jackson, do you got four?
I got four, Sarge.
So what does two and two make in your book, Pete?
Four, I guess.
All right, then. Pete, you and Mickey stay here and finish up. I'll radio the boys at the morgue. Jackson, put your hobo in the back seat, and let's get back to the station.
Something didn't add up. I was putting two and two together and getting five and a half. Maybe even six. I headed for the all-night drugstore. Maybe the dame would have the missing numbers. I had a vague idea that maybe she'd be calming down over a strawberry phosphate or leafing through some magazines. But the only title on the shelf was Sucker. And I felt like the dregs at the bottom of the glass. Say, did you see a redhead? About 5'6", plenty of swerves and curves.
No one's been here since 8 o'clock, sir. I'm starting to wonder if being open all night's worth the trouble.
Thanks, Pops. The question now was, who was that unmasked woman? I solved an equation involving a handbag and came up with an answer that I didn't like. They say curiosity killed a cat, but I knew better. Curiosity gave a cat a pair of cement overshoes and a nice place on the water to spend his vacation. So I don't know why I didn't let it go. Maybe it was the soft voice Mitchell Markham had confessed in, or the cop's doubts. Or maybe I just wanted to find the redhead before I took out a permanent subscription to Fall Guy Quarterly. Whatever it was making me walk up the steps of the 26th precinct, like a lamb to the swimming pool. They can't go in the water, you know. All that wool, it makes them too heavy to swim.
Can I help you?
May I, I'd like to see Mr. Mitchell Markham. It brought in last night.
Are you his lawyer or a family member?
Well, no, but
I'm sorry, sir, no visitors but lawyers and family members.
The set of a mouth was tighter than a Wallendis high wire. This cute little trick kept the keys to the kingdom, and I was locked out.
Wallenda? We don't have any prisoners named Wallenda.
Oh, just a habit. Don't mind me.
Wait a minute. I know that voice. You're Steve Powell. Golly, I listen to your show every Wednesday night.
Well, thank you.
I won't even accept a date on Wednesdays. I can't bear to miss a week.
Well, that's very...
My favorite episode is the one where you deciphered the coded message in the telegram and you go to the nightclub dressing room where the diabolically clever blonde flies at you like a cat and you take her in your arms and say,
Those strong-arm tactics might keep a man away from you, baby. But I'd rather get close.
Ooh, that made cold shivers run down my spine.
Episode 36, one of the all-time greats.
It's supposed to be against the rules, but I'm sure you wouldn't want to see someone unless it was very important. Is it private investigator business?
Well, I'm not really a private eye.
But you have to do research for your stories, right?
I don't actually write them.
Will you please sign my autograph book? I always carry it just in case. Just put, I'd rather get close. Oh, and your name.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you go.
Wow, wait till I show the girls in the typing pool.
You're one special lady.
Just go along in there, and if anybody asks, I'll say you're the prisoner's brother.
I could tell she was trying not to show her true feelings for me, but I didn't have time to open up the candy box and look for chocolate hearts. I had a job to do.
Or at least some things that I wanted to find out. Mr. Markham? I'm Steve Powell.
Do I know you?
No, but I'm here to help you.
I don't want any help. I shot that man, and I'm going to jail for it.
You seem pretty casual about it.
I'm going to take my medicine.
Isn't it Barbara Mitchell's medicine?
Barbara? How do you know about Barbara?
It's her handbag.
Do you think they'll connect her with... Will she be dragged into this?
Well, it depends on how much your story stands up.
What's wrong with my story?
It's not what's wrong with the story. It's what's wrong with you. You look like a fella who's had some bad luck. Not a killer.
But I killed him. I pulled a trigger.
Yeah, sure you did.
They have to believe me. She can't be... You have to keep Barbara out of this.
Why don't you tell me the whole story? And maybe I can, help.
20 years ago, I was in love. She was the daughter of a prominent businessman in Los Angeles. Her father was away on a business trip, and she came into the store where I sold shoes. She was a 6AA. We spent every minute with each other. She took me boating, riding, all the things her father could give her, and she shared them with me. I took all my savings and bought her a ring with a diamond chip in it. You could just make out the sparkle if you held it up to the light. I knew it wasn't enough. When her father came home from New York, I asked to speak with him. He threw me out on my ear, said I'd never be good enough for his little girl. Didn't even let me say goodbye. But I did see her one last time.
Mitchell, I can't believe it's been almost a year. It seems like yesterday.
Sally, is there any hope?
Oh, Daddy would never let me. I can't go against him. I'm all he has since Mother died.
Sally, will you take this?
A ring? But Mitchell...
Sally, there's no one else I could ever give it to.
Mitchell, Daddy's in New York. Will you come and see me tonight?
A few months later, her father sent her away to live with relatives back east. She came home with an orphan niece that she and her father were taking in. Sally must have put her foot down. She couldn't name the baby Barbara Markham, but she held out for Barbara Mitchell.
Well, how did you...
It hurt me every day that I couldn't see my little girl. Then Sally died of influenza, and I didn't even have her to see in the society pages anymore. I had to get away. I spent years riding the rails, living as a hobo, begging for handouts. Last year, I finally straightened up and came back to Los Angeles. I couldn't get much work. Mostly odd jobs, but I spent every spare minute looking for Barbara.
Does she know that you've, found her?
She's an heiress. She's engaged to Roy Van Allen. It would ruin her if people knew she was the illegitimate daughter of a hobo.
Mr. Markham, Mitchell, what really happened last night?
I've been keeping an eye on Barbara for a few months now. This man, Deland, saw me following Barbara one day and called me to a restaurant where she was eating. He offered to buy me dinner, and after a few drinks, I told him the whole story. Deland started blackmailing Barbara. He told her that he'd tell Roy's family she was illegitimate if she didn't pay up. All she knows about me is what that rat Deland has said. She must think I'm lower than dirt. But I couldn't stop following her. I had to see my little girl. Last night, I saw her go into the alley to meet Jim Deland. I heard the shot. She must have... I saw her throw the gun into the bushes. So I picked it up and made sure mine were the only fingerprints on the handle. Look, Mr. Powell, for 20 years, I haven't been able to do anything for my little girl. I'm going to make up for that now.
But you can't. There must be some explanation.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And after Barbara's been dragged through the mud, it won't make one bit of difference. Officer, I'd like to go back to my cell.
It wasn't right to let a man rot in the icebox for a crime he didn't commit. Even I could see that the payment was bigger than the debt he felt he'd racked up. But I didn't see Barbara as a killer either. Sure, she was a redhead, but a Spitfire, not a machine gun. There had to be another explanation. Getting Barbara's story was the next step. A tricky shuffle step in a tap dance of crime.
I'm sorry, I don't buy from door to door. You!
You seem surprised to see me, Miss Mitchell.
Well, how did you... I'm sorry. I'm very busy right now, and I'm afraid I can't ask you in.
Would you rather discuss last night right here in the hall?
Would you keep your voice down?
It's an easy question, Toots. Yes or no?
You'd better come in. But I only have a few minutes. I'm expecting my fiancé.
I sent up a silent thanks to the man who wrote episode 53.
His silver tongue had got me into the tiger's den.
Will you keep your voice down?
I hoped I'd escape without getting mauled.
Wait a minute. That voice. Aren't you Steve Powell?
I was walking home from the studio when you ran into me.
Ah, saved by a celebrity. I love your show, Mr. Powell. The way you capture the cold, gritty feeling of the city streets. Oh, thank you so much for your help last night. Was everything all right with the police? Did you need to mention me?
They had enough witnesses to the two shots.
Did anyone see anything?
No, they only heard the shots.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, black is fine. Funny enough, they got the murderer right away. A man walked right up to the cops and he confessed.
What?
Yeah. Well, at first they thought he just wanted a warm night in jail since he was, well, down on his luck. But it turned out he had the murder weapon and everything.
How strange.
You haven't asked if they found your handbag.
Handbag?
White leather mid-size bag. Chain strap containing lipstick, gold compact, and a roll of bills with a bullet through it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You shouldn't take visiting cards with you when you're paying off blackmail.
You mean my name?
Unless there's two Barbara Mitchells with something to hide in this town.
What do you want? Money? I'll pay you the same as...
Wouldn't it have to be more for murder?
Damn you!
Barbara, I'm not here to blackmail you.
Then why?
I don't think you're a killer, Barbara. But I don't think the man they arrested is either. I'd like to know the real story.
I was waiting for a streetcar, and I heard two shots.
There's a man in jail right now, with no family and no home. I don't know why he confessed, but I know he didn't shoot Slippery Jim Deland.
I was waiting for a streetcar, and I heard two shots. And I'm not changing my story so that you can pin a murder on me.
And your handbag?
Well, obviously. This Deland, or whatever his name is, mugged me earlier in the evening and took my purse.
Seems strange that you didn't report it.
Mr. Powell, I am not going to sit in my home and be insulted by some third-rate radio actor. I'm afraid I must ask you to leave.
I thought you liked my show, the cold, gritty feeling of the city streets.
God, well, more like cold mush without cream and sugar. Mr. Powell, are you done playing private detective, or do I have to call my fiancé to throw you out? Hello, police? Yes, I'd like to report a robbery last night.
Clearly, I'd rubbed this kitten the wrong way. But I didn't have time to smooth her fur. Mitchell Markham's arraignment was in half an hour.
Court is now in session for the arraignment of Mitchell Markham on the charge of murder in the first degree.
First degree? Then Markham wasn't just going to rot. He was going to the gas chamber.
How do you plead, Mr. Markham?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Very well. The court finds
Wait, Your Honor.
Order. Who is this?
The judge wasn't taking any guff from a two-bit private eye. But maybe he'd listen to a third-rate radio actor.
I'm Steve Powell, Your Honor, and I have some important information about this crime.
We have a confessed murderer found near the scene with a weapon, Mr. Powell.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was there. But, Your Honor, look at this man. Does he look like a murderer to you?
And my experience has taught me that murderers come in many shapes and sizes. I'm afraid you're out of order, Mr. Powell, and I must ask you to sit down.
But what about the handbag? Barbara Mitchell's handbag?
I'm sure the police have a satisfactory explanation for it. Sergeant Anderson?
Your Honor, Miss Mitchell rang up the precinct this morning to report being mugged last night, waiting for a streetcar, right before Slippery Jim was shot. It's obvious, Your Honor, the victim was getting ready to count the loot when the bum shot him.
But why didn't Mitchell take the handbag? Why take the wallet and not the handbag if the motive was robbery?
It's a light docket today, Sergeant, and I must admit I'm curious to hear the whole story.
No, you can't. I did it. I shot Slippery Jim Deland.
Well, now I'm even more interested. Court will adjourn for 1 hour. Sergeant Anderson is directed to subpoena Miss Mitchell as a witness.
But, Your Honor, our case. Are you going to listen to this actor?
Have Miss Mitchell here when we reconvene, or I'll cite you for contempt, Sergeant.
I felt like a gambler who's thrown his life savings on double zero. But I was ready to spin the wheel and see if Lady Luck was with me, or if she'd stepped out to powder her nose.
This court is again in session for the arraignment of Mitchell Markham on the charge of murder in the first degree. Court calls Miss Barbara Mitchell to the stand.
Her fur was still ruffled, and I didn't think she'd be smoothing out any time soon.
I don't understand why I've been called to this court, Your Honor. I mean, surely the fact that a man who robbed me has been killed has nothing to do with me.
I'll decide what's irrelevant to this case, Miss Mitchell. Mr. Powell, you seem to have some questions for Miss Mitchell.
The judge was going to let me host a party, and all I had was a cheese log and some stale Ritz crackers.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Powell?
Sorry, Your Honor. Miss Mitchell, you were robbed?
Yes.
But you didn't ring up and report it until this morning.
I was very upset and frightened, and I didn't like the idea of dealing with the police. I'm engaged to be married to Roy Van Allen, and I don't like the idea of having my name in the paper.
Well, what made you finally decide to report the crime?
As you know, Mr. Powell, you came to my apartment today and urged me to report it. You said that it might put me in a bad position.
Finally decide to report the crime.
As you know, Mr. Powell, you came to my apartment today and urged me to report it. You said that it might put me in a bad position if I didn't, since the bag was found at a murder scene. Your Honor, why do I have to answer his questions?
Is there any reason why you shouldn't, Miss Mitchell? After all, you've got nothing to hide, do you? Isn't this your handbag?
Yes, it is.
Lipstick. Compact with a bullet hole. Money. Sergeant, how much money is here?
$2,000 in tens and twenties, Your Honor.
Miss Mitchell, why were you carrying $2,000 in a roll of small bills?
I was buying a present for my fiancé, for Roy.
At 10 p.m. on a Wednesday night?
I had finished shopping, and I hadn't found anything I wanted.
Miss Mitchell, did you know that James DeLand had a criminal record?
Why would I know something like that?
Did you know that he had served 2 jail terms for extortion and blackmail?
Blackmail?
Were you being blackmailed by the deceased, Miss Mitchell?
You can't do this to her. She's innocent. I shot him. I shot Jim DeLand.
Sit down, Mr. Markham.
You can't send my daughter to prison. You can't take away my little girl.
You're...
I'm sorry you found out like this, Barbara.
Shock drained the blood from her face. She looked like a scoop of vanilla in a strawberry sundae. I felt like the lowest dog in the pile. But justice had to be served cold, didn't it?
I'd like to hear the witness, Mr. Powell.
Your Honor, I'm ready to tell the truth.
Barbara, don't!
Jim DeLand somehow found out I was illegitimate. He told me my father was a railroad hobo, and I knew it would wreck Roy's career if the information ever got out. So I paid as much as I could. On the $2,000 was the last thing I could manage, and Roy was getting suspicious, you see, and he couldn't see what I was spending so much money on. I told Jim DeLand that would be the last payment. Well, he pulled out a gun. He said if I couldn't, he'd make sure Roy would pay, and he grabbed my arm, and he was going to kidnap me. I tried to run away. My arm got tangled in the purse, and the gun went off, and I threw the gun into the bushes where my father must have picked it up. Did you see the whole thing?
Yes, honey, I did. I know you didn't mean to do it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was so ashamed of you.
It's all right, Barbara. I was ashamed of me, too. If it wasn't for me coming back to town, Jim DeLand wouldn't have anything to hold over your head.
You don't even know me. You were ready to give up your life.
I haven't had a chance to be much of a father. I just wanted to try and make it up to you.
Miss Mitchell, you'll have to be tried, I'm afraid. But I think with the story that you've told here and with your father's evidence, you'll be acquitted on the grounds of self-defense.
But the publicity and Roy.
I'm through trying to hide. Let it make headlines. I'm going to hold my head high and spit in their eye. And if Roy doesn't like it, he can lump it. We're going to be happy whether the country club likes it or not.
You and Roy?
You and me, Daddy.
It made headlines, all right. Great headlines. Guardian angel protects unknowing daughter. Girl risks all to save father's life. Family reunited. Van Allen's planned society wedding of the year. But for me, it was back to Sandy Sweep. Only a week had passed, but the old routine made it feel like forever. Afternoon, everyone.
Mr. Powell! Steve!
Whoa! What's all the hubbub, Penny?
After the big wigs at Sandy Sweep heard about your part in solving the handbag murder, they want to make a Frank Grayson movie. You're going to be a star!
I am. I mean, they do?
They want to do a real-life crime drama based on your adventure. Only, they said the radio Frank Grayson was a little too old, too young. They want to you to be a more experienced, mature version of the character. They think housewives will find an older man appealing. I mean, I find older men appealing. Well, some of them anyway. Gosh, Mr. Powell, Steve, this is so exciting.
It sounded too good to be happening to me. I knew there had to be a catch, but I had to admit, it would have to be the catch of the day to slow down my yes. Where do I sign?
And you'll have a secretary who helps you by cleaning the office whenever you're out on a case, and she'll use all Sandy Sweep products. They think it could be a whole series.
Like I said, nothing had changed. That is, for Steve Powell. For little Stevie Pawlowski, the whole world had changed. I had had a little speck of sand and a whole lot of irritation, and I was ready to open up that mollusk and see what was inside.
Mr. Steve?
Yes, Penny?
What's a mollusk?
Well, Penny, it's a... Why don't I explain it to you over a cup of coffee after the show?
Golly, Mr. Steve, are you asking me out on a date?
I think I am, Penny. I think I am.
Thank you.